Hello, friends.
Hi.
Welcome back to Where Are We Growing?
I'm excited. This is going
to
be a good one.
Do you want to intro this one? I feel like I've introed all of our
special
episodes.
I do make you do everything. I'm like, Brandon, who do we have with us today? I will intro, I guess. We have the amazing, talented, smart, and beautiful Benji Plant. Thank you for being with us, Benji. Yay.
Hello.
Smart. You don't think you're smart?
Well, I guess I haven't really been called that for most of my life. Like, I'm normally like a B. I was like a B student, so I've never been like the smart one.
What do you always say, Brandon?
B minus work can change the world.
B minus work can change the world. I mean, well, and you have a whole degree too. Hello.
Yeah.
What did you tell the people? What is your degree in?
It's in environmental studies.
Environmental
studies. UC Santa Cruz.
Nice, Santa Cruz. I feel like I used to remember, were you posting about it on like your Instagram story? I feel like I'd once in a while see like little snippets.
I need some snippets.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Like a mitt with a snip built in for propagating. I don't know. It just seemed like it'd be a good idea.
Oh, wait, so you can propagate while you're cold? Or what? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
But anyways, so now you are a full-time content creator, right?
Yeah, I just graduated recently. I guess not recently anymore. I don't know. I keep saying recently, but I guess it was back in June.
Still feels recent.
2021.
It still feels recent. 8 years ago.
Does it still feel like you just graduated?
Yeah, actually it does.
Well, it's like, what do you do after you graduate? I feel like everyone's always like preparing you for like, oh my gosh, like you're going to go through high school and then college and then you graduate. And then what?
And then life just goes downhill from there.
Yeah. I'm like, what are we supposed to look forward to now? But I love that you're doing something that you love, and we love to see it. And you've gotten wildly popular on Instagram, TikTok, and doing very well on YouTube.
Like,
I feel like we were just talking about this in one of our recent episodes. I feel like it's really hard to get YouTube subscribers.
Yeah. It's very challenging, especially with how saturated it is now.
Yeah. There's a lot of people on YouTube. Do you feel like a lot of your followers jump over from like TikTok or Instagram?
I think maybe more from Instagram, but I think most of my YouTube followers are from YouTube. Like, I don't really think many of my TikTok followers really migrated to my YouTube because I think my content on the different platforms are a little bit different.
It is.
So I don't know if my TikTok followers really care about like my life or like what I'm doing, because I don't really show myself on my TikTok. It was like very slow in the beginning, but then kind of some videos go more viral and get on the homepage. Like a plant tour will be a lot more popular than some random other video that I'm doing, so it was a lot more difficult to like build an audience on YouTube versus TikTok especially.
Yeah, because I guess that YouTube isn't really like pushing out content as much as TikTok is. I feel like I more easily happen across people's videos, where when I go to YouTube, I actually have to search for something or like look up what I want to be watching. So, Benji, I know this isn't like a fun question because it's like, where do I start? But tell us about yourself and how you got into plants.
Okay, well, my name is Benji. And I'm 22. I always start with that because I never know where else to start.
That's a good start.
And so I'll just go into like, well, I guess I live in Los Angeles in California. And I got into houseplants, I got into plants in general, I think, because my dad has always been into gardening, like mostly edible things or some flowers, some decorative stuff. And then my grandparents in Vietnam are rice farmers, and they still are now. So I think he brought that along with him from Vietnam. And so I just kind of grew up helping him in the garden. And I think this is a very similar experience to a lot of people, where they help their parents do like most of the outdoor stuff. And I wasn't like really into it when I was younger. It was more like work that I had to do outside.
It was the chores. I was like, oh my god, I gotta go out in the garden,
pick the green beans.
Exactly.
Like, well, do you want to eat or not?
Tomatoes.
I love
it. So I did that a lot with him, but then what I was really interested in was the aquariums, because my dad did aquarium stuff. Not really like planted aquariums, just fish in a thing with like gravel and castles and like decorations, stuff like that. So he introduced me to a lot of those things. And then it was kind of more when I started college, having my own place, my dorm, my own place. Yeah. So, like, something that is not fully under my parents' roof was when I started to explore plants for myself more than just like being a thing that I did with my dad, because it was sort of my space where I could do my own thing. And then, kind of in freshman year, I went to some nurseries. I brought some plants home. I got an asparagus fern, I still remember. And that died very quickly because I just didn't water it. So I wasn't like very knowledgeable about houseplants yet. And then, so I was just kind of into it, not like super, super into it. And then, sophomore year, I moved into an apartment and my dad bought me a fiddleleaf fig and an alocasia fry deck. And I still have those plants right
Oh, I
now.
love that.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, I like this plant. He's like, you can't grow that. Like, it's not going to work for you. And I was like, we'll see. I'll try. And then, so it kind of just started from there. And then I was like kind of into plants, not at the level where I have like so many
Isn't it
plants.
funny where you're like, I remember thinking I was into plants at some point, not knowing how into plants I was going to be at some point.
Yeah,
Literally. I
the
thought I was like an
potential.
influencer in like
Yeah, I was
2014.
like,
Like, look at my succulent.
the succulent craze, like back in that time, everyone had a succulent.
that was all the arrangements at the nursery. It was all succulent arrangements. That's all you could get.
Yeah.
And I wanted them all. I was like, oh my God, these are so cute. I want every single one of them. Nope.
And then after that, it was my junior year when I really got into planted aquariums, which is like aquariums, and the main focus is with plants. And that is sort of when I got really into plants in general. Because with aquariums, you can kind of deep dive into research and information because there's a lot you can do with it. And then I was like, oh, wait, I could also like kind of apply this kind of stuff to my house and my house plants. So then from aquariums, I got back into house plants, but on like a more intense level. And now we're kind of just here today.
Just
Pretty
exploded
much.
over time.
Yeah,
Did you have the
almost.
same like major going into college that you graduated with, or did you switch it up at some point?
No, I went in as environmental studies. It wasn't really like a, oh, this is my passion necessarily. It was, I took an environmental science class in high school that I really liked. And out of all the classes that I took in high school, that was the only one I actually enjoyed, the only one I did the readings for. I kind of was just like, oh, when you're applying to colleges, they tell you that it's not really that important what you choose. So I just was like, well, I'm kind of interested in this, so I'll start with this. And then I kind of kept going with it. And yeah, I did a lot of cool internships and things like that that I probably wouldn't have gotten to do if I didn't do that major. But it isn't a very practical major in terms of like the job market. So I'm happy that I kind of
Yeah.
led into
What do you think
this
you would have done
path.
if you didn't move into plant content, or do you have no idea what you would have like done after that?
Well, when I was in my senior year, I did a research fellowship about sustainable aquaculture, which is like fish farming stuff. And they were doing research for like adding or using algae as a main ingredient in the fish feed. And I think if I wasn't doing this, I'd probably stay on the research team. And because they offered like, oh, if you want to stay, like we can offer you a position. But I didn't love doing that because I don't know, I just don't love research. It's a lot of like scientific papers and it can be a lot. So yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing now because you're very good at
It's a lot more fun too. Before I was scrubbing fish tanks all the time. Well, I guess
I feel like I'm
I don't know.
scrubbing
I
fish
kind of
tanks
do
all the
that
time now.
still. Yeah.
And I just
But
have
at
one.
a
Yeah,
at
Brandon
a
just
smaller
has the
level
one. After
though. Yeah, I'm
watching
sure
you
I'll have a lot of fish tank questions because mine is not doing well.
After watching you struggle with yours, I don't think I ever even want to try. It
It can
sounds
be
like a
a
lot of
lot.
work. Like,
It
especially
can
since they're
be.
little creatures, I would feel bad if it's like full of algae and I'm like, shoot, I need to do something about that.
Well,
Like,
mine isn't
it's
even
a
neglect. It's just like It just, I think it's, nowhere. I think it's the water. I think I need to, if I want to actually have a thriving aquarium, I think I need to go to the fish store and be like, hey, I need 15 gallons a week. Just give me, I need to buy water.
it can be a lot of work. Yeah,
I don't know if I'm cut out for that. Sure. I like the terrariums and maybe even like a little bowl of something, but I don't think a big tank is really my speed. Maybe someday. Yeah,
well, I used to have tons of fish tanks thriving. I used to run my mom's 100-gallon coral reef tank. No problem.
I know.
But now I have a 15-gallon tank with a couple neon tetras. Can't keep anything alive. I know.
Things just kept dying out of nowhere. And I'm like, it seemed like the fish were mating. Like, there was just all of a sudden more one day. And then all of a sudden, they were all gone. Like, I'm just like, yeah, are they? Well, didn't you find one, like, stuck under a rock or something?
They try to commit suicide in very fun and creative ways.
It's insane. I feel like some of them, you've had fish jump out of the tank and you find them, like, behind the dresser. I'm like... maybe you need like a top on it. Do people like put a gate over it?
Most fish tanks do. Mine is just it's an aesthetic fish tank, so it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, maybe you need to have some floaters up top so they really can't get out. You know?
Yeah, but people do that.
I know there's a lot of like, I don't know, what do you call the water plants?
Aquatic plants.
Aquatic plants. Or aquarium. I was just going to say aquarium plants. Aquatic plants. There's a lot out there, and I don't know anything about them. But
they have much more complicated names than our common house plants, like scientific names, too. That's why in aquarium hobby, people mostly use common names or shortened abbreviations and stuff.
Yeah, we don't need to be all scientific and official with it. That's all right. Well, you did say briefly that your dad had a lot of plants. So how about you tell us a little bit how it was like being surrounded with plants and how growing up with them impacted your life? And do you think you would have even gotten into houseplants if your dad wasn't into them?
I think it really impacted my life by just like that's what I'm used to and that's what I want to be surrounded by because it feels very comfortable for me to like just look around and see greenery. And luckily, I live in California where there's generally more green, I suppose, than other places. Sorry, what was like the last part of the question?
Do you think that you would have gotten into houseplants if your dad wasn't into them? Like, do you think you would have found the hobby at some point or maybe not?
I think so, because when I was... but also, I don't really even know. Maybe that is just like the influence from my dad, but I was always very into like... like forests were very magical to me or like lakes or even I remember like I saw a puddle and I would go and look into it and be like, oh, maybe there's some fish in here, even though it's a puddle on the street, you know, but my mind was like, oh, maybe there's something in there. Yeah. Or even I remember looking in the street gutters because sometimes there would be like water in it. And I did find tiny snails in there one time. So
no clowns popping up out of nowhere. I literally thought of it immediately.
Luckily no.
No clowns. Well, I think that brings us to our very first question. Coffee versus plants wants to know, what is your oldest plant that you have?
So the oldest plant that I currently have, well, there's two because there's the fiddleleaf fig and the alocasia friedeck that I talked about earlier that my dad gave me. Those I like try and take really good care of them because they hold some type of sentimental value for me. So those I've had since my sophomore year of college at the beginning. So I think that's like, 4 years or 3.5 or so. I'm not very good with time and like adding that together, but I think that it's around there.
Yeah, I feel like that's very impressive to be keeping a Friedeck alive that long, especially like, yeah. I'm guessing, was that your first alocasia ever?
Yeah, and it went through a horrible phase where it was doing absolutely nothing, and then it was down to just the stump. And I was like, I guess I'll keep it, because if my dad asks about it, I don't want to tell him that I killed it.
Like, it's right there. I tried. You can see it is right there.
It's been through a lot.
But it came
and then
back.
One day I just gave it more light, and it just thrived. And I was like, oh, wow, that's what it needed. And yeah.
Beautiful. We love a comeback story.
Or you just throw them off your deck.
Oh, I just realized that I've been calling it an alocasia friedeck, but I meant alocasia poly.
Oh, yeah, poly. I was like, a friedeck. I feel like that would be a very hard first one, right?
No. I still struggle with my friedeck now. So
Yeah, I gave mine away because someone was like, I really want one. I was like, you can have mine. And then I got another one and I kind of just like forgot about it.
My brain tells me I want a variegated one. And then I realize, no, probably not.
Maybe I don't. Oh. Yeah, I need to get a little bit better with the normal one before I get a variegated one. I'm scared to get any variegated alocasias because they're pricey and oh, they're yeah. scary. But I really like, oh my God, the variegated black velvets, like the pink.
How much are those? I have not seen people like sell those.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know how much they are.
Salad Beard Farms, they're like minimum $500.
35 and Thrive. He's the one who, Seth Schwier, is that his name?
Don't ask me names.
Oh my God. Well, 35 and Thrive. He has so many variegated fried eggs. I think that's kind of what he specializes in. He likes to take like random like sport variegations too and try to stabilize them and get something really fancy, but some really, really cool stuff. And like even the variegated Maharani, like that white is just stunning. I love the texture. That'd be nice. I honestly would like that more than a variegated fried egg. Well, I suppose they're like, isn't technically like fried egg is the variegated one?
And yeah, I don't really understand that still fully, but yeah, the non-variegated one is like Mitsukatliana.
Yeah. They're like, well, it's not technically a fried egg. It's the non-variegated one, whatever. Whatever. Okay, let's jump into plant social media. So I know you said, I don't remember what I was watching recently, where you said you started posting around November 2020 plant content. What got you to join plant social media and like want to share that with everybody?
I think, well, I first got started on Instagram. It was just like, because I wanted to post about my plants, but I didn't want to post about my main plant or my main social media page because like who really cares about my plants?
I feel like that's what we all say. Everyone says that.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't want to just like saturate my thing with plants because people are going to be like, this is so random. So I made my own Instagram account called Benji Plant. And it was not, that name was just because I had no idea what else to create. Like for my username, I was like, well, this kind of like, it tells you a lot about what the account is about. So
yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Benji and plants.
Yeah.
So, now you're stuck with it.
Yeah. And I was thinking like, should I change my name? This was a while ago, but I was like, should I change it? Cause I was like, it's not very interesting, but I'm happy I kept it. Cause I feel like it has a nice like Benji plant.
Absolutely. I feel like you're iconic as a person, at least to me. I look up to you as a plant person, and I feel like I couldn't imagine your name not being there. Everyone knows you as Benji, I feel like. I feel like people talk about Benji all the time, and they don't even have to say Benji plant. They just say Benji's. And I'm like, I know who you're talking about. Well, at least that's what I think. Okie dokie. Should we do another random question, since there's so many of them?
Oh, yeah, there are a ton. Do you have any that you feel like would fit in? Are we pulling one out?
I don't know. It looks like the next one that we have written down up there is, how do you make planty friends? I feel like that's assuming that you have planty friends, not that I'm assuming you don't. But I feel like you've done like some planty meetups, right? Like locally?
Yeah, so I've done a few plant swaps. And that's been really fun to like host a plant swap kind of. I mean, it was very informal hosting. Mm-hmm. It's like, meet at this place at this time and let's do a plant swap. I didn't even know what a plant swap really was because I've never been to one. So it was kind of a big learning process. But for like planty friends, I have two that I talk to a lot. There's Jahao, who lives in Los Angeles. And then there's my friend Michael. He lives in Portland. And I started talking to Michael before I even like really started any social media stuff. I think I had like 300 followers when I started talking to him. And we've just been chatting ever since. I just found him on Instagram and then I DM'd him and started talking to him because I had no other people to talk about plants with. And then Jahao, I think we met on Instagram or something. And then he was just like, hey, do you want to trade plants? And then he came over and then we've been hanging out ever since pretty much. Also, Theo is scratching at my door. I don't know if you can hear.
I hear him. I love your new little doggy.
My little chihuahua.
So cute. Was it hard leaving him when you had to like go out of town for a little bit for the first time?
Yeah, it was, because like just worrying about him and like, yeah, just if he felt like a little baby, you know.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I don't want to leave my baby.
Literally.
Bring my baby with. So I think someone did ask this in here at some point. what do you do with your plants and I guess your dogs then when you go out of town for a little bit? Do you just leave them? Do you have someone? Well, I guess you're not just leaving your dogs, but like, do you have someone who comes over and checks on stuff or not?
Well, I try to make it so, well, for Theo, my dog, we just had him stay with Chris's cousin who lives in Los Angeles. So that was pretty nice. But with my plants, I try to make it so they don't need maintenance at least for like 4 days. Mm-hmm. So 4 days is kind of like, I feel very comfortable with leaving them alone for 4 days. So before I leave, I'll just water all of them pretty much. And then like kind of get them ready for the days that I'm gone. But I've never had someone come over before and help because there's a lot of like little things that I know how to do to take care of my plants and my aquariums, for example, that it would be very difficult to explain to someone or like fully trust them. I think I could trust Jahao, mm-hmm. My friend who lives in Los Angeles, but like I couldn't ask just a random friend who's not into plants to come over and water them or anything.
Yeah, it's intimidating. I had to like feed someone's lizard one time when I was watering their plants. I was like, I'm not worried about watering all these plants. And then there's this extensive instructions for feeding these little, like, I don't mm-hmm. know, creepy looking lizard things. I'm like, okay, this is a, like, I had to like open this box of crickets and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. It's too much. Way too much. Well, someone literally asked, how are you so cute? LOL. It's literally, I'm not kidding. That's one of the questions.
Don't they know that you guys are going to have to read that?
They know. They're not embarrassed. They are not embarrassed.
Oh, this one was a good one from Rose, Plant with Rose.
Who we just I love her.
Had an episode with earlier today.
Yeah, she said, wanted us to say hi to you.
She said, you create such beautiful content. Who do you watch / who inspires you?
So I do watch Rose. I didn't know that's how you say her name. I always thought it was Roos.
That's what we literally told her that. She says that some of her close friends will still think that. I guess you have to like hear someone say it. I literally had to ask
her. I just think Roos is so cute.
Roos is cute. Yeah. But I guess it's not technically pronounced Rose in her language, but she says it's kind of like sense. It's a little bit different to pronounce, but she says it's just way easier to say Rose. So.
So we don't, none of us know what her name really is.
Yeah. So we have no clue. So we're just all making things up. So yeah. Who inspires you? Who do you love?
Well, I was just watching one of her videos recently for alocasia care because she has some really pretty alocasia. But some of my like favorite people on YouTube is one Summer Rain Oaks. Like I am a Summer Rain Oaks stan, for sure. And, so she mostly for houseplants, and then for aquariums, I really like Fu the flower horn. I don't know if you guys really know, but he's like kind of a big inspiration for me in terms of the more like chill vibes for plants and like aquariums and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some of the listeners have like watched his videos before because his videos have like millions of views. It's like feeding my shrimp a carrot and stuff like that. So
maybe I need some shrimp. They sound easy and they sound like a little party. I don't know. People on TikTok do like little shrimp raves. Remember?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That looks fun. A little shrimp party. I love it.
Yeah. Remember when we went to the shrimp store?
Oh my God. Very old. Don't remind me. Yeah, Brandon's like, we need to go to the shrimp store. And I'm like, oh my God, what? And we go to this random like hole in the wall business.
It was in like a warehouse.
I was literally like, is this even open?
Office complex.
Yeah, and it was so weird. It was like family run and there's like kids running around and I'm just like, what is going on? It felt like we weren't supposed to be in there. Yeah. just really weird.
Tanks and tanks and tanks of scrimp. Just so many scrimp.
And they're kind of expensive, weren't they?
Oh yeah. Some of them were like $100 a shrimp. That's
yeah.
Apparently there's an uncommon shrimp world.
No, there are. And what's interesting too is that they have different grades based on how good their coloration is. So there's like S tier, like SS grade, and it's really interesting. Yeah.
Oh, is that the same for like isopods? Because I know that you have those little guys too. Do they have like uncommon ones of those?
They do. There's, I don't know about like the grades, but there are definitely uncommon ones. There's like the rubber ducky isopods that people really like because they sort of look like rubber ducks. And I think for like for 10, it's a little over $100. Dang. So yeah, there's definitely like rare isopods as well. But I'm not super into them, so I don't know that much.
I saw you have one that's called Dairy Cow Isopod, and that made me laugh.
Those are really cute.
It is really cute. It's like literally has little spots on it. I like it.
Exactly.
They all creep me out.
I found one on my floor going across their living room, and I just put it in my terrarium.
Well, Jessie had her isopods eat all her plants that were in her terrarium.
Yeah, someone's like, oh my God, it'll eat all your plants. And then some people are like, oh my God, it'll eat all the bacteria. It'll be great. And I'm like, okay, so am I supposed to put it in?
I've never had them eat my plants
before. I'm like, what? Are there different ones? But, or maybe there's different breeds? I don't know. That eat the plants?
Yeah, I think it's really diverse. But I thought that they mostly only eat dead or decaying leaves or leaves that are about to die too. So maybe all of their plants were about to die.
Yeah, who knows? Okay, moving right along. What's our next question? My eyes are horrible. Let me see here. What do you think drove your success as a plant personality on the internet? What sets you apart, Benji? Tell us.
I think that, well, I actually recently kind of got this question. So I was thinking that maybe... I think my approach to plants might be a little bit different than most, like, of the more popular plant people that you see on the internet. Like, well, I mean, I used to care more about, like, rare and uncommon plants, but eventually I was kind of like, why do I actually care about that? And then I started just getting what I like, and I think, like, I don't really do, like, the rare and uncommon plant stuff very often. And I kind of treat every plant as if they're like something special. And it, even if they are like a rare plant, I don't emphasize that fact. Mm-hmm. I also think maybe like my age, like for a lot of people on the internet or people who are starting to get into plants, I might be more around their age range. I also, maybe I'm also like an Asian male, and I think that's a little bit more uncommon in like the plant community on social media. And yeah, I think maybe also I focus a lot on the aesthetics more so than care guides, even though I do add that in sometimes, but I just try to make things look really pretty with my plants. And I don't know if a lot of people do that.
It's very pleasing to watch. That's for sure.
Thank you.
Well, and I heard you say in one of your recent videos that you don't really stage things for pictures that often. Mm-hmm. You just like snap a picture. And I'm like, oh, that's just what it looks like all the time. How nice. Well, I'm sure you wait for like certain lighting because everything's like always like seems like the sun's setting or it's coming in. It's very like golden hour. So I'm sure you wait for like the specific time of day. I know whenever I get like a random kick at night to be like, oh, I want to film some content. And I'm like, but it's dark out. So what am I gonna do? What am I filming now? But I feel that every time I scroll through your TikTok, everything like down to the sound is just like perfection and it's pleasing.
Yeah, the opposite of us.
We're not like, you have to like us.
Our
to
aesthetic
watch our content.
Is a mess.
No, it's a mess.
You're here for the personality. That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, though. That's honestly like pretty nice.
Let me see here. I'm not going to go back to those questions. Let's stay on ours. As someone who wouldn't fit the typical influencer mold, have you had any difficulty navigating a large audience, like especially getting such a big following in a short amount of time?
I think, well, like when I first started on TikTok and I started getting a lot of followers, I got really scared. Like all these people looking at me and like probably like not judging me, but just like perceiving me as a person. And I was really worried about that. And I was about to like delete everything.
Just kidding. I take it back.
I was talking to Chris, my boyfriend, like, I don't know if I could do this. Like I was very nervous about that. And so for like navigating a large audience, I think like on TikTok, I don't necessarily really connect that much with my audience. Just because there's so many people and most of the people who view my content are mostly from the For You page. So they don't really know anything about me. And I also don't necessarily show my personality or myself on my TikTok. So that's sort of why I gravitate a little bit more towards Instagram and YouTube now, because it does feel like more of a community.
Mm-hmm.
And it was difficult at first. I was like, who is my audience? I don't really know who these people are. But with YouTube and Instagram, I've really grown to like understand these people who enjoy what I put out, and I like really appreciate that they just appreciate what I do. And so now it's, I feel more chill about it, but before I was very like nervous all the time.
What did Chris think about this following?
He's always been like my biggest supporter, which is really nice to be able to actually say truthfully. Mm-hmm. He just thinks it's cool, and he's like, well, I kind of expected it like for you, because
he's not surprised at all.
Yeah.
I love it. And he's also now like working with you full time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he helps me record and stuff, which is nice, because now I'm not just talking to like a camera. Mm-hmm. Which is really hard for me to do. Like, I have a difficult time not feeling unnatural or awkward with just me and a camera. So it feels like I'm almost talking to him essentially when I film my videos. So he's working with me, and it's been very nice because there's a lot of stuff to do, especially with a lot of plants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know if we have this question coming up, but did you have any prior like editing experience? Because I feel like your YouTube videos are very well done, like just down to like transitions, like it's a whole production. It makes sense, like even going from day to day, like it doesn't feel like, okay, it's the next day now, like it's just feels very it feels just very natural. And I'm like going through the weekend, it's just very chill, nothing's abrupt, it's very well thought out, there's several different like sounds going in and out, like different soundtracks, like I love it. And yeah, how did that come about?
That's really sweet. I don't really normally hear like people give feedback like like talking, you know. It's different when it's like talking versus looking at comments, but thank you for that. That was very nice. I don't have any prior editing experience. Like you can see when I started editing in my first YouTube video, like you can definitely see my progression and how I've learned. Because I'm sure you guys know, like a lot of creating content is learning, like doing your own research and trying to learn how to do your own stuff, like learning different software. So I use Adobe Premiere Pro, and that thing is very confusing looking when you first start out. Mm-hmm. But luckily I did have a little bit of experience with Photoshop in high school, because I did some graphic design courses. So that's probably the only prior experience I have. And then I also kind of like learned how to take photos. So it's interesting to see, like, if you look at my old Instagram posts and just scroll up, you can kind of see like the progression and how I've learned how to do stuff.
I love that. It's just so good. But I guess it's like all about pressing buttons and learning what they do and experimenting.
Yeah, exactly.
I just stick to the bare minimum.
Yeah, but you know what all these buttons do on this thing. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
I had to turn your mic off and switch it to a different one because I couldn't figure it out.
He literally turned off my mic and he's pressing a bunch of buttons, and I'm like, I don't know what you're doing. Whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to manage three voice tracks, or I don't know if that's how you guys do it, but.
Yeah, I don't know. We have like a sound, like there's even like special.
Bing bong.
I always press that one. We need a new one. We told people last episode, if you guys have random sound bites that you want to hear besides bing bong, let me know, because I think I have exhausted the bing bong. That's all I have. Okay. Well, should we get to a break soon or what?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just getting that time.
Yeah, we will take a quick break, a word from our sponsors. Maybe by the time this episode comes out, we'll have some real sponsors.
Someday.
But we'll see.
We can dream.
So, yeah, here's a little break and a word from some people.
BRB.
Bye. Hey, Minneapolis friends, what are you doing April 30th, 2022? Monstera Plant Co. is hosting our first ever event, the Foliage Fling and Market. This event will start with a plant swap where you can trade plants with other local planty people. And after the swap, you can stay a while and shop our market full of plants, vintage, and other local vendors. We'll even have a food truck so you can stay and hang out all day. There's also going to be a scavenger hunt for the 2 weeks before the event where you can hunt down your dream plants and other great prizes. But don't worry, if you don't win the scavenger hunt, you can always enter the raffle and win big at the event itself. Go to www.monsteraplant.co to find out all the details and register for the plant swap. Also, if you do have a business local to Minneapolis or St. Paul and would be interested in becoming a vendor, send us an email at contact@monsteraplant.co. We can't wait to see you on Saturday, April 30th for the Foliage Fling and Market, brought to you by Monstera Plant Co., Siempre Viva Vintage, and Ambibulus. Come hang out with me and Nicole, and let's have some fun and swap some plants. And we're back.
We are back indeed.
We need to come up with a better comeback phrase.
Why?
I don't know. Okay, consistency. We're being consistent. That's something we can't do normally, so.
Are we being consistent? I don't even remember what I say each time. I just kind of repeat you.
I think I always say and we're back, and then you always say and we're back.
Oh, whatever. Okay, we are back with the Benji plant. And we're going to talk about your collection with all of these questions that we have.
Not a single one that we came up with. It's just from other people.
All questions from viewers. So c.plants.c asks, what are your tips for having a plant aesthetic? I think that's very broad, but give it your best.
Yeah, I was looking at that because just like there's some questions laid out here. And I was like, I don't necessarily know how to answer that just because I kind of just look for the plants that I like. And then I don't necessarily know if there is like a plant aesthetic because I feel like most plants look good together. Mm-hmm. But maybe more, I guess, like with the pots that I also add them with. I try to normally go for like pots that don't detract too much from the plant. Mm-hmm. So I'll think like, oh, I don't want a pot that's too busy if the foliage is like variegated or it's a very bushy plant, but maybe I wouldn't mind the pot to be more busy if the plant is very simple and like say the trunk is very long or something. Mm-hmm. But I think just kind of think of maybe a color palette for your pots, just a general color palette. So they all look fairly cohesive. I also think that natural things look good with plants generally. So like terracotta or some type of ceramic and with maybe with like wood stakes or also with wood furniture or something like that looks really good, I think. But I have difficulty like giving tips for anyone else's plant aesthetic because everyone's aesthetic is different and I only know mine. So,
everyone has their own taste. But yeah, if you want to be like Benji, I guess just like get some wood and terracotta, just very clean, take some pictures with the sunset coming in, mm-hmm. you know. And it's also, I feel like your plants are well spread out. A lot of mine are just jumbled together and you literally like can't tell how many plants there are because there's so many of them. So I guess maybe having them, letting them have their own moment, you know, so you can actually appreciate.
I do try and do that too. Either like space them out a little bit or have specific areas for my plants where I do group them a little bit more.
Because how many plants would you say you have? And obviously, like, a terrarium is, like, a lot of plants. But, like, individual plants in a pot, what would your estimate be?
I don't know. It's really hard because I've never been the one to count. Because I know a lot of people are, like, into the number.
I'm afraid I'm at 400.
I've never.
I don't want to count.
I think you have more than me, and I have almost 400 plants.
I don't believe that.
Nicole's I have a problem?
No, when you say it like that, I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't have the energy to take care of 400 plants. Who do you think I am? But I guess a lot of them are like the same. I have a lot of philodendrons, obviously, and they're just doing their own thing, like not the velvety ones, but just like the very hardy, like can take drying out completely. Like I just like to keep plants around that either look like they're thirsty when they're thirsty or... I don't know, don't need any maintenance for a while.
Yeah, like this room doesn't really have, it's not a planty room, but there's 17 plants in this room.
I guess, yeah, and that's, I guess, a lot for one person, but that's just what's in this very room that we're sitting in. What do you think you have, Benji? How many? Give us a number, a ballpark.
I don't really count, like, propagations because they're all, like, in one thing.
Oh, yeah, no.
You know, because I think it'd be really, if we're getting down to, like, propagations and tiny plants like that, that would be a very high number probably, but I think I have around like individual pots with plants in it, including my balcony, I think around 75. It's not too many because I did do a lot of like purging when I moved. Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of like big plants too.
Yeah, that's the thing too, that I do have a few large ones. So there's just not room for it if I want it to feel not too cluttered with plants. So Yeah,
I've got one large plant. Big one. So I have like two large plants.
Wouldn't you even consider your big pothos large? I mean, it's kind of big.
I guess. I don't know.
This depends on what you think is large. Like, if we're talking relative. Like, if I wanted to like bring this plant to the shower, but I physically couldn't carry it. That's a big plant.
Okay, I guess I was being prejudiced, thinking you can only be a large plant if you're on the ground.
No, there's a lot of big plants that you have around here. Well, you even have like big clarinerviums. Not clarinerviums. Yeah.
Okay, I forget. I do have big plants.
Yeah,
you have they're big... just so buried by little plants that I don't.
Crystallinum. That's what I was thinking of. I'm like, what can I not and think of?
No, that Magnificum now is in like a 2-gallon pot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
gonna... You have a big pasta, too. Ugh. Get out of here with this. I don't have any big plants.
Yeah, I'm you got me. Scared of like those plants that get very large. Like now my Gloriosum, I really love it, but it is just too big. And it's like.
Get some spider mites. They'll bring it down to size.
It's had it for like the entire time I've owned it. And just recently I've sort of gotten rid of them now. So that's like my struggle plant with spider mites.
It's always like the velvety philodendrons for me. And I feel like, because people always peg like the alocasias as a spider mite whores.
I think they bring them in and then they say, ooh, why would I want to be on this alocasia when there's this varicosum right here?
Yeah, with these velvety philodendrons, I think that the damage appears like immediately. But I feel like the alocasias could get covered in them and you won't even notice that much.
Yeah. And then just the oldest leaf kind of starts to droop.
Yeah, they can be covered in them and you wouldn't know until you got right up to it. But then like velvety philodendron, like
you have a perfect new leaf and the next day it's destroyed.
You wipe off the spider mites and there's still dots from where they were.
Yeah, those tiny little dots that appeared. Oh, so
I hate it. So bad. Anywho.
But the new leaves look pretty though.
I've been having like thrips on things left and right, and like new thrip leaves with like the, like, I don't know. It's just this pattern on them.
It's like the stripings are like munching their way up.
It drives me crazy. Anyways, Rebecca's Plants asks, how do you feel when one of your favorite plants die?
Okay, so I don't want to sound like.
He's
so
about to
good.
Be like, none of my favorite plants have died. What are you talking about?
Killed any of my plants that I really like. Because normally when my plants die, it's normally due to neglect. Mm-hmm. So I would not consider those my favorite plants. But I did sort of recently have a lot of begonia die that I really liked. I got them sent from Botanicas and I accidentally killed a few of them because I didn't have high enough humidity in my cabinet because I didn't seal it. But I don't know. I never really feel too like emotional or anything, unless it's something like if my fiddleleaf fig died because that has like a sentimental value to it, I would be pretty sad because I can't just get that back. But like these begonias that died, if I did want them again, I could get them back because I didn't really hold any value to them. But I took that like begonia experience as like a learning moment, and now I knew what was wrong with the begonias, so I sealed the cabinet, and then now the humidity is better and now I can grow begonias in there. So I just didn't know what kind of care they needed, so I kind of take it more as like, oh, that's what went wrong, and now I can apply it to future plants that I have.
A learning experience.
Yeah,
we love it. There definitely are like some begonias that like don't need that much humidity, but then some that like demand 100%.
Yep. That's why I don't get into any of the ones.
Well, because I have like my regular like begonia maculata, like she's hanging out 30% humidity. She doesn't care. Like as long as I water her in time, she's doing just fine. But there's a couple of them that
they just melt.
Yeah, they melt. Like, they're like, literally melt. I need high humidity. I really want to get one of those little Darth Vader ones.
Oh, I want that's the one I want.
One that that's the died one for me. I was like, oh my God, this is what I've been wanting for so long.
Yeah, that's a good one. I killed my Julau. Yeah. Oops. I think I accidentally, I kind of like let it go. Like I saw that it looked bad and I knew that it needed a drink and I didn't do anything about it. Oops. It happens.
You're like, I'm just going to watch you die.
It wasn't meant to be. Oh, same thing with my pink minx. I also let that one go.
Oh my God, you were so excited about that one.
I was obsessed with my pink minx. It's whatever. I feel like everyone has them now. It's not going to be as hard for me to get.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's cool about begonias, I feel they're very easy to propagate because you can like make a ton of plants from just one leaf. It's really weird. I didn't know that's how begonias could be propagated, but like you could cut a leaf in a certain way and then it'll sprout from a bunch of spots. Yeah,
I love it. And especially that's one that when you chop them, like every single node all the way down just like pushes out new growth. Amazing.
Every time I've tried, I've failed, so I wouldn't know.
The begonia game changed for me a little bit when I started giving them more light. I didn't know that they needed, like,
oh yeah,
not like, an insane amount of light, but they do need more than, like, your average.
Like, even my maculata, I put it under direct light. It's like, boop, 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 boop.
Mm-hmm. That's one I feel like that, like, people who have a really big begonia, it's probably just your normal, just a normal angel wing. Okay. What is it like having a lot of plants and a roommate?
Well, luckily, I used to live in a house before in college with, five other people. So
nightmare.
I mostly had my plants in my room, but I slowly kind of started to like add them in the living room because I ran out of space, or in the kitchen.
Relatable and content.
Mm-hmm. Just sneak them out.
Yeah.
And eventually it's a whole jungle.
Yeah. And I've honestly never even like mentioned anything about it, like negative. I think most of them, I think my roommates appreciate it just because it's like filling a space with plants, but they don't have to take care of it. So it's an ideal situation in a way.
Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah. So luckily I haven't had any bad experiences with that. And my roommates kind of just let me do what I want with my plants. So I think I'm very lucky in that sense.
Yes, we love it. Oh, and that last question was from Botany by Nicole. I forgot to say that. Next one is from Cassie Kavanaugh, Cassie Doc Kavanaugh. How do you prevent getting overwhelmed with your collection? I like hearing this from other people because I feel like we ask everybody this.
And I feel like everyone's like, oh yeah, we get overwhelmed. And me and you are just like, we're just chugging through. Soon we'll have 1,000 plants. Like,
we get overwhelmed. I don't know about you. I get overwhelmed,
but like, I feel like everyone has like a breakdown where I feel like we still haven't reached our breakdown.
We thrive on the stress.
Yeah. That's the only thing that wakes me up in the morning.
Is having to care for these fuckers. How do you deal with it, Benji?
Well, I haven't felt overwhelmed by my plants since I moved. So when I moved, I was like, okay, I want to downsize a little bit because it was kind of getting to the point where like I had most of my collection in my room, and every time I entered my bedroom, I would see a plant that needed some type of care, and it would just be like, oh, another thing that I need to do. And it would kind of just never end because the plants dry out and then they need to be repotted. And maybe it needs fertilizer, maybe it has pests or something. So I was just constantly like stressed out in a space where I should feel more relaxed in my bedroom. So I decided when I moved that I wanted to get rid of a lot of the plants that I just like was not really that into. So I got rid of all of my duplicates. I took small portions of certain plants and put them into one pot. Like for some reason, I was so obsessed with collecting the different pothos and philodendron. I was like, I'm going to get all of them. And then the list, those like infographics that people make kept expanding. And I was like, okay, like, this is not even possible.
And then did you put them all in one pot? I know that you have a philodendron medley.
Yeah. So I just took, I was like, why do I even have all of these? They kind of give me the same experience, except they're slightly different variation or like color. So I was like, I don't really need this many of like the varieties, and they take up so much space. So I just cut propagations and put them into one pot. And now I really like how it looks. And I've also kind of like made it easier for myself. So like I said earlier, I want my plants to all be able to be fine for like 4 days. So either I'll increase the amount of, say, like coco core that I add into the mix, so they retain more moisture. Or I'll repot them into a larger pot. Or now recently I made Sunday my plant care day, where I do the majority of stuff. And it's been really nice because I can get through like watering my staghorn ferns all in one time instead of having it to be so spread out. Because I feel like you guys probably relate, where you just kind of walk around and see what needs to be done, mm-hmm. and then you do it. And yeah, so I've kind of designated Sunday as my day to get through the majority of things.
Love it. I feel like we can skip over that last one because we covered that question. But Let's talk about terrariums and aquariums.
The, apparently what's going to be the meat of this journey.
Long awaited. We have a lot to learn.
That's interesting, though, because I never really know if people care about my terrariums and aquariums. My aquariums more than the terrariums, just because, like, I don't really post about the aquariums that often. So whenever I post about them, I'm like, do people actually care about these? So
I feel like I remember the aquarium or, like, yeah, at least the little fishbowl ones, I don't know, being, like, your OG TikToks and, like...
Yeah, they were very popular.
Like feeding my snails, changing the water, whatever the heck, like anything. It was just...
And I think why people really like it is because the people who are very into terrariums, aquariums, like, they take it too far like we do plants. Where, like, you...
It's too complicated.
You present them in a way that's easy to digest, it's beautiful, it's simple. Where, like, I feel like, and I've watched a lot of aquarium content creators, they're nuts.
Oh, fish talk is crazy.
They've just got a room with 5,000 gallons of fish, and it's overwhelming, it's weird, they're nerdy.
I bet it smells horrible, too. That's all I'm saying.
It won't smell bad if they take care of them correctly. Mm. But I do know what you're saying, Brandon. Like if people think the houseplant community is crazy, aquarium people are on, like, another level.
I accidentally got on Fish Talk for a while, and even the Fish Talk community.
Dude, they are nuts. Every single time I see someone, like, get a new fish, I'm, like, checking the comments. Drama. I'm like, are the fish people here yet? So Benji, you've gotten a lot of people watching your stuff. Have you ever gotten any crazy fish people in your comments?
No, because I think I do it, like, I do it right.
He's giving us the air quotes. He's like,
because I know what people would say. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so I just would, like, not do that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So, because I was kind of into, like, the fish community, aquarium community before I got into houseplants, just, like, on Reddit or on YouTube. So I know what is, like, not okay. So I've never received any of those comments. The only comments I have received was, like, when I did make those plant bowls, people were like, do not put fish in it. Or, like, I am so happy you did not put a fish in it, or stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, I didn't put a fish in it. It's for plants. So,
like, you're welcome. Okay. Video, it's not there. Like, okay, like, thanks for coming. Move along.
Like, I know it's not okay. And I didn't do it. So
you're like, but, okay, yeah. You're welcome. Oh, fish people. Okay, Brandon.
I love you guys, though, by the way.
Do you want to take over this one?
Yeah, absolutely. So where did you get started with planted aquariums, and what draws you to these little contained ecosystems?
So, like, I was into aquariums with my dad, just, like, fish and shrimp and the idea of them. And then I really got into the planted aquariums because I really like the idea of... different organisms interacting, like, with snails and fish and plants all in one ecosystem. Like, they all play a part within the tank. And I think that that's really cool. Like, you feed the fish and then it poops, and then it is essentially fertilizer for your plants. And then the plants pretty much clean the water because they take in the nitrogen and the nutrients and stuff. So that concept really appealed to me. And so that all really kind of started with Food the Flower Horn, the YouTube channel I was talking about. So I would just, like, literally watch his videos and just watch them as I fell asleep, because it's, like, nice music. And so that's where I get a lot of my inspiration from. And then I got into terrariums so I had my aquarium phase, heavy houseplant phase, terrarium phase, because I was like, oh wait, I have plants and I already like aquariums, so let's just, like, put these two things together. And so I got terrariums, and yeah, so I kind of do, like, all of that stuff, and that's, I think, it keeps things very exciting for me because it is, like, a different thing but still plants. I just like adding little things together and creating a little world, essentially.
I love that. It's just like a little ecosystem right in front of you, right in your home. It's crazy.
Yeah. They're really cool when you get it right. Which, speaking of, what are your tips to get it right? Because I am obviously not doing it right.
Yeah. What do you think are, like, what mistakes are people making? What's
is
like
it with aquariums?
Yeah. What is it?
I don't know.
like with your fish tank?
Well, with mine, it's like all the water parameters are right. I'm assuming I just have really hard water, and that's a big part to play with it. I don't know.
The thing is, with one of the reasons I don't talk too much about aquariums and my aquariums now is that my aquariums that I have currently are a little bit more complicated. Like, I have CO2 injection that I inject into the water because it helps with plant growth. So I don't really want to talk about them because it can get complicated kind of fast and be very overwhelming to someone who's just getting into it. And I think the majority of my followers aren't like into aquariums like that. Mm-hmm. So I've been a little bit hesitant to talk about it, but I think that a lot of issues that people have is not doing enough water changes, leaving the light on for too long, like not having a timer. Having a consistent time for your light to be on is really important to prevent algae growth.
And what's a good consistent time?
It
asking for also, a friend.
don't have it next to natural light as well. That's really bad.
Oh yeah, I made that mistake before, but not currently. It's in a dark corner.
It is in a dark corner.
And I only have that light on for like 8 or 9 hours a day.
Yeah, so around 8 or 7 hours.
Seven? But we're changing it right now.
God.
But then, like, I will try also anything. This thing. there's also this thing that you can do, which is why I say like it can get complicated fast, is that there's this thing where people leave the light on for 4 hours, and then they'll turn it off for 2 hours. Then they'll turn it on again for 4 hours.
I've got smart plugs. I can do that.
Brandon's like, I can get scheduled right now.
The reasoning why is to allow for gas exchange in between the time when the light is on and when it's off. So that way, because you need CO2 in the water for the plants to be able to photosynthesize. So like if you have the lights off for 2 hours, that allows enough time for gas exchange to occur. So that's why it's like, it can get, you know, a lot.
There, that was a great tip. I will be implementing that tip tonight.
I feel like my cat would go berserk if I had a fish tank. I don't know. She would shove her whole body into
inside of it.
She would be in it.
People commented things like, oh, that's to my planted bowl TikTok. They're like, oh, that's nice. But my cat would just like knock it off the shelf.
Well, here's the thing, Brandon. You know how often I drop plants or knock them over accidentally? I can't do that with a glass bowl with a creature in it. I can't do that. That's not happening. It would have to be in a very like low traffic area, and that doesn't exist in my home. I don't have that.
Yeah, I was just trying to like think, and I'm like, no.
Where would I put a fish tank or a little bowl of anything with water in it?
You'd have to have a big fish tank that was like pretty much completely sealed.
Yeah, like it had to be something that you'd have to try and knock over. But I don't have the energy for that. That's too much. I want just a little bowl. Someday. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday.
Well, the issue with the smaller ones is it's easier to let it get out of control.
Oh, yeah, because, like, I even have just, like, a little glass terrarium, and that thing used to be so pretty, and you could see everything in it, and now it's just, like, it's just, it's exploded. Like, that's what it sounded like when it exploded. Like,
wait, it literally exploded, or what?
I have to, like, I take the top off, and it's like, and I have to, like, trim the whole thing, and I'm like, it used to have, like, such cute little plants in it.
Well, it's like mine. Mm-hmm. It's like hard to get in there. So I'm just like,
I don't even know what's up in there anymore. I think there's some stuff that's died because I haven't watered it in a very long time. I usually don't have to, but I think at some point I should have watered it because I haven't since I moved, and it's looking a little dead. Just from afar. I haven't gone up to it to investigate. Like, I'm scared because I put the isopod in it. I put the isopod in it, and now I have the ick.
And now it's eating everything.
Oh, maybe that's what's going on. Everything looks so bad after I put it in there. He's working overtime to make my life hard.
He's poisoning the plants just to eat them later.
Mm. I know there's a crystal in there somewhere, like a little rose quartz.
Oh, so he's getting like superpowers from
he's
it.
He's getting good vibes down in there. There's even a piece of driftwood in there. You wouldn't even know. All the plants are around it. Well, it's got that like aquamarine, pilea, whatever, that thing that just like explodes in anything you put it in. So anyways, back to it. Someone asked, well, two people asked, where do you get your supplies for terrariums, aquariums, and stuff like driftwood, moss, all that fun stuff?
So it can be really difficult if you don't live in a place where there are like aquarium hobbyists. So luckily I live in Los Angeles and people love aquariums out here. People love anything out here. Like if you're interested in a hobby, you can find your.
Oh yeah. They have everything in LA.
Yeah. So I'm
like, except snow.
That yeah. I still haven't really experienced snow yet.
Come here. We'll help you.
I want to go to like see snow in California. People go to see snow.
Yeah. They go like up to the mountains. They're like, let's go take a day trip up to see the snow.
I'd rather die.
They like drive 2 hours to go and look at the what's our nightmare.
I basically walk out the door and immediately become depressed.
It gets really bad up here. Like sometimes we don't see sun for a very long time, but it's been coming back out like a little bit.
Blessed be the fruit.
So do you think that you get most of your
most
locally. Of your stuff locally?
Mostly. Yeah, and I like before I struggled with it because the only other place you could get it is online, but it's difficult because you can't see what you're going to get because most online retailers won't show you exactly what you're going to get. So it's like, oh, I'll buy this driftwood, but they could send you literally like a stick because it's, you know, it's what we got. It's random. The picture is not actually the
driftwood assorted.
Exactly. So when I was like, before I lived in Los Angeles, I would watch all these people going into their local aquarium stores, like just so jealous, like in San Francisco or in Europe or in Asia. I feel like they appreciate aquariums a bit more. So I would just watch those things and like look at all the pieces and kind of imagine what my aquariums would look like if I had that piece of driftwood and stuff. So I'm able to buy most of my supplies locally, but if I were talking to someone who I don't know where they live, I would say Etsy is a really good place because there's hobbyists on there who have that type of stuff, and generally it will be like a what you see is what you get type of deal. And Etsy has literally everything that you could want for plant related stuff. But then there's also some really popular online retailers, like there's Glass Aqua, there's Boost Plant, and just a bunch of other stuff. Like if you look up aquatic plants for sale, just look at any of those most popular sites that pop up, and then they likely have wood or driftwood and moss too. What people don't know is that a lot of aquatic mosses for aquariums can also be grown out of water. So like immersed, most aquatic plants can grow in water and out of water. So, and they also look different when they're underwater versus out of water.
And another fun fact is a lot of the common aquarium plants you'll find in pet stores are not actually aquatic plants.
Oh, that's the tea.
Because they're not meant to be fully submerged. They're just
it's funny.
Meant to be half submerged.
And they don't tell you that.
Nope.
Why would they? Because then you can just buy more when they die. Exactly. Big brain. Well, and I think when you were talking about like getting local stuff, I really like to emphasize to people, like, just look up if you have a store near you. Like, you might have an aquatic store near you. You might have a hydroponic store near you. Like, we have a hydroponic store in Minneapolis. You might have a
full-blown shrimp store.
Yeah, you might have full... You don't know what's in your area until you look it up, because it's probably
actually,
not...
Actually, we should go to the hydroponic store, because I remember when I went there alone and I was too afraid to go in because it was in that same kind of office warehouse type of facility, and I was
sounds
like,
right.
Places can be very intimidating.
There was no window, so I like couldn't see well, in, and I like got to the door, and I was like, okay, not today.
Did
and
we go to Twin Cities Reptiles together? I went with you,
yes.
Right? Twin Cities Reptiles.
But that's like, you can tell it's a store. That wasn't in like an
that
office.
That was
kind of
crazy though, because do you remember when we looked over and there was just all of a sudden a giant lizard through that one door? Like they had this whole, like, there was this literally like whole doorway, and they had it like glass, like as if you just look into this room, and there's just, what was it? I don't know. It looked bigger than, it was bigger than a bearded dragon, whatever it was.
I don't know.
You don't see those in Minnesota. I'm like, this poor thing is just sitting in the middle of the store.
Well, probably at least he had a whole room.
He did have a whole room to himself, but I'm like, this poor guy like doesn't even see daylight. I don't know. I felt bad. There was a lot of tarantulas and snakes. Scary.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, you guys, you don't know if they're it's probably not going to be a popular store if you have like a, like a aquaponics, whatever the heck store, hydroponic store, anything. People are probably not talking about it, so you got to go on the Google.
Yeah. It's a struggle for people who live in like smaller cities, because growing up, I lived in a smaller city and we just didn't have anything. And even if we did, the selection was very minimal. But yeah, I'm very blessed.
It's rough out there.
Yeah.
Someone asked, Rebecca's Plant asked if you had any algae in your terrariums or aquariums, or if you deal with that.
So I don't really know if algae in terrariums is really an issue, at least not that I've experienced. But in aquariums, yes, especially when starting. I think that is like the biggest issue for people who first start. And I think a big answer, or like a very good solution to that, is to add a ton of plants, because the reason why you're getting the algae is likely because your lights are on for too long, or there's too many nutrients in your aquarium. And so you can kind of solve that problem by adding a lot of plants, or like floating plants. Those are really good at taking up the excess nutrients, or just like easy, fast growing plants. If you go on YouTube, like top 10 easiest fast growing aquarium plants, choose some of those and then add them to your aquarium. And yeah, I've definitely had a lot of struggles. And what's also horrible is that there are multiple types of algae that can affect your aquarium. And then the solution for them is all different, and some are more difficult, some are easier.
My issues all started with the blue-green slime.
That's one of the
worst
ones.
And ever since then, I've had every type imaginable, and they would just will not go away.
I guess maybe I would literally, if someone were asking me questions, I'd be like, I don't know, go see if there's like a fish tank Facebook page and ask them. Like, send in your picture and be like, what is this? What do I do?
They're going to be kind of rude, probably.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they will.
It's like the carnivorous plant pages. You go on there. I would never ask a question on a carnivorous plant page. Oh, my God. You got roasted.
I'm in the ping plantation one. I don't know if it's Pinguicula. I don't even know how to say it. That group is a fun one. But it's just a lot of people, like, sharing their, like, pings.
Yeah,
and their
yours are cute. Your pings were, like, one of the first pings that I saw. I was like, oh, what are those? And now
they're
I have
so
a
fun.
Few.
They're the
yeah,
best.
They're very cute.
They're like the only ones I can keep alive. They're actually like kind of hardy for a carnivorous plant, in my opinion.
I mean, mine are doing
like
great.
Distilled water?
I literally don't. I literally use tap water on all of them, and they're just doing
their
thing.
Yeah, sometimes it works.
I'm sure when they get a little bit bigger, they might be mad at me, but I literally got some tiny little baby ones from someone. Like, you could barely see them in the soil, and they're getting bigger.
Aww.
It's so cute. And when they put out their first flower...
And the flowers are so pretty.
It's so
I haven't
precious.
Had any flowers yet, but
I die. It's so cute. I give them to Brandon. Like, I get every time I get a little shipment, I'm like, hey, here's a ping. And his explodes. What the hell?
Are you putting them in like your terrariums or anything?
Mine are just chilling on the top shelf of one of my cabinets all together. I really want to actually like make a little pingdom on a lava rock or something. This is the
yeah,
ping. Literally look up hashtag pingdom. And you guys will see all the inspiration. Pingdom.
I've never heard of that, but that's very cute.
Pingdom. Because it's your little kingdom of pings. Pingdom.
And mine is just, that first one you gave me was in like a tiny little container with just barely any soil. And it just outgrew the container. And I didn't know what to do because I didn't have the soil. And I wasn't going to order a bunch of new ping soil. So I just threw it in a drip tray. And it just sits on its little tiny bit of soil. And it's put out 20, 30 flowers.
Yeah, and what's crazy about them is, like, when they flower, they actually, like, separate and, like, turn into two different plants.
So
and
I probably have, like, 22 plants in one.
You can eventually, like, separate them, and you can propagate them just like a little succulent, like, tear off a little leaf and just, like, prop it. And actually, I noticed when someone posted in this Facebook page, it actually makes, like, a bunch of babies all along it. Like, it doesn't just make, like, one new little plant. You can actually get, like, tons of them all along the leaf.
Like a mother of thousands.
Literally. Like, it basically turns into a mother of thousands if you, like, put it on. You can just lay it on lava rock, and if it's wet, it'll just, like, make a bunch of babies. Amazing. Do it, people. That's going to be the new thing. Fuck a pitcher. Fuck a pitcher plant.
They look like little flowers.
I want more. They're so hard to find, and I think besides getting them from, like, California carnivores, I just get them from local people who happen to make little babies.
Well, there's that ping... grower here who you showed me who has like crazy
pings and things
yeah
he specializes I think Nepenthes.
Did you look up his he posted like an Excel spreadsheet of every ping he has, and I was like, what?
No, I looked at, because he has like all the actual names, and it's all color coded, and it's all scientific. I don't even know how to say any of those.
And I was like,
oh, because he was like, okay, I put up this list so I can like trade with people. And I'm like, he's not going to want any of mine. He's not going to want to trade with me. I don't know. Maybe someday. I'm like that. I just love when people have their own little specialty where I can be like, hey, this person is great at this specific plant. That's why I love that there's like niches inside of niches inside of niches. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, there's like so many different communities within the communities. is interesting.
I love it. Okay, Brandon.
Like, that's why I kind of like how I'm labeled sort of as like moss
person. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, I think we didn't have an official moss section, which is honestly my bad, because we had 4,000 questions about growing moss. So I think you should just do a little quick moss 101 because
yeah.
Me and Nicole have tried and we both failed.
What do
so.
We need to know? Yeah, because all I get is algae on my moss. I've never had... I don't know, maybe once had like a sprout.
I remember
know.
I was like, oh my like, God, look at my moss is growing. I found Benji's, put it under the light. It'll love it. And you're like, that's algae. And I was like, no, it's not.
And it was?
Yes.
Okay. I was right. Well, because at some point, like I was like, I've seen enough of Benji's videos to know what real moss looks like when he's cutting it. I know that fluffy moss. And when it's like dark green and it's just covering the moss that's already there, like that's not alive, you know? And eventually they start getting sprouts and stuff, but never it happens. We haven't had it happen. So yeah. Crash course on moss. What do the people need to know?
Okay. There are a lot of different moss species out there, like a ton. The ones that I grow are sphagnum moss, this random moss that I found on the ground like 2 years ago. I don't know the species of because it's like impossible to identify them. And then I grow aquatic mosses, but they can also grow outside of the water, which is really cool. With the sphagnum moss, I got all of mine by regrowing it from dried sphagnum moss. I followed this one person on Instagram who had it regrow for them. I was like, how did you do that? Because I didn't know that was possible. And they're like, oh, just kind of just buy this brand and then keep it under moist conditions, like consistently. And give it a good amount of light, but not too much. That way it grows algae. And I was like, okay, I don't really believe you, but then it worked for me.
Like, okay, well, it sounds like bullshit, but I'll give it a try.
Like, let me try, yeah. And then I just, like, 2 months later, I wasn't really even thinking about it, but I had these propagations of string of hearts with sphagnum moss in it. And then I just started seeing these tiny little green sprouts, like, it's different than the algae because the algae will be like a slime covering, but the sprouts will have like a physical structure. And I sent the picture to the person and I was like, is this it? Like, is this what I think it is? And they're like, yeah, that looks like it. And so from there, I've just been like trimming them and propagating them. And so with my sphagnum moss, my live moss, it grows very easily once it's alive. Getting it to come alive is a hard part because it's like, I don't really even know.
And what type of light did you put it in? Is it sunlight or grow light?
It was a grow light. It was an LED grow light. Oh,
well, that should have so much I don't even know what to do with it.
You have really powerful lights, though. Like, really powerful lights.
Yeah. And it's hard to say, because, like, it doesn't work for some people and it works for others. And I think it worked for me, and I used the Best Grow sphagnum moss brand, which is like
write that down.
I think
Brandon.
One of the best.
Write that
down. I know what it is. It's okay. You know what it is.
I don't. The moss that I get is in a clear thing. I don't know the name brand.
Well, see, and I've gotten good moss from other sources. I've never purchased good moss because I am cheap.
I know the work that I buy is like $25, and that's still a lot for me. I don't like buying like accessories. The plants are expensive enough. I don't want to be buying all this shit. I can't. But I think I've been giving mine too much light because I do notice that when I have like, I don't know, little things and like little anthuriums or something that are getting a lot of light because they're small or something, it gets a nice little algae layer on top. How cute. So.
But if you don't want to like regrow it, it's really easy to purchase it. You can purchase live moss on Etsy and... probably from like carnivorous plant growers. A lot of the times there is live sphagnum moss growing on top from the plants that you purchase from them. And once it's alive, it's pretty easy. It's just keeping it wet and you just can't let it dry out like completely. So I tried to have live sphagnum moss on top of my aeroids and things like that, but it doesn't work because it needs to be wet consistently or else it'll just dry out and die. But for my carnivorous plants, I have them in cups without drainage holes, and I use reverse osmosis water. But previously, I was just using tap water, and they were fine. And you just have to keep it like wet all the time, but not too wet. Obviously, it's hard to
there's
describe.
There's a balance,
but,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I try and but tell people, like, if you can wring it out and there's, like, a lot coming out of that, like, sphagnum moss, it's probably really too wet, you know? there's that like icky soupy consistency that they get to. Sopping wet moss.
Oh,
like,
you know what? You know what consistency it is?
What?
Chicken noodle soup that you left on the counter overnight. That's
don't
what
even.
It is.
That made my skin crawl a little bit. I don't know why. Gross. Just like really stagnant noodles.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
Gross. That would make sense because I do like a lot of my plants that are sitting in moss or growing in moss. I do like let them dry out completely. So why the hell would they regrow? Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
But it is easier to just buy it live. That's like the hardest part.
The way our brains work, we have to grow it ourselves or else it's not worth doing.
I think that's the magical part. If I buy it myself, that's not fun.
That's cheating.
It's cheating. That's why I'm like, I buy a lot of like anthurium seedlings, but only the ones that I know I'm not going to be able to make myself, you know? Like, I don't have a pappy. I don't have a...
I'm getting worried because I think that like the originals are going to be harder and harder and harder and harder to come by because of all the hybrids.
Purebred plants are going to be hard to get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, who do you believe? There's always drama with anthurium community.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, I got sold a hybrid and it's, yeah, my friend is really into anthurium and he always updates me about the drama and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a lot.
The episode with Brian, which I think is, no, it won't come out next week. It'll come out in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah,
he talks a lot about it. Oh my god, that one was a good episode.
We learned a lot about F2, F whatever, and all that.
Oh, he just posted about it.
Yeah, I was like, thank god he shares that because I needed a refresher. Because like after he said it, I was like, oh, that makes sense. In one ear, out the other.
No, and then I was going to share it, and I'd be like, on 2 weeks episode, you get to hear this conversation.
Yeah, I literally even forgot what it even is. Because then the other day you were like, yeah, it was really interesting to learn about that. And now I know what F2 means.
And you're just like, nodding. Like,
I'm nodding. I'm like, yep, I totally forgot. But it makes sense now because I was like, why are these doc block things called F2, F1, F3?
Yeah, and then why is it called doc block in the first place? And then I had to have my anthurium friend explain, oh, he's a person who hybridized it. And they call him doc block because he's a surgeon or a doctor or something. I don't remember.
Doc block. Yeah. It's very cool. Benji, do you want a plant named after you one day? The Benji plant?
I don't really care. That much.
Like, meh, but, not interested.
Maybe. I mean, I guess that'd be kind of cool. I feel like I wouldn't name it after myself, though. I'd probably name it after, like...
After your beautiful wife, Patricia.
Theo. Oh, my God. I love that dude. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes Brad and I be watching, like, old documentaries, and then we actually learn stuff, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, Philodendron Patriciae is named after
Patricia, his wife.
Patricia. I forget his name because I don't remember names, but.
But you remember her name, though. So.
Yeah, because I literally screamed in the middle of it. I was like, wait, we know that plant.
He's like, I was just going through the forest of Ecuador and I just saw this plant. And it was just so beautiful. It reminded me of my wife, Patricia.
Oh my god.
Isn't it funny though that he gets to choose the name of that plant?
Like, and here we are. There. Now we're all saying it. And now we're all going after it. It's crazy.
And I have it now.
Now he has it. I almost got one from someone, but it was $165 and I was going to have to pay for shipping. And I was like, I don't want to. Because I knew I was going to have to do overnight because it was so cold. Someday. Maybe someday.
They're dropping in price a lot. They used to be very expensive.
So. Yeah. I'm really sad I got rid of my Esmeralda Dense, though, because that's one that I really like that looks a little bit similar when they're, like, big, but it still has that, like, nice, like, ooh, on top. Yeah, I'm sad guess what? I traded mine for a Raphidophora decursiva. That's why sometimes, like, I like to, preach, like, trade plant for plant. Like, don't be caught up in the value. F that. But then there's sometimes, like, when I do give away a plant that then I can't get back as easily. Because I think I paid, like, $50 for that, and now they're, like, triple that when I see
them. Well, I think with every trade, I, like, make it very obvious, like, if I'm giving you this plant that I'm giving you my one and only of, you got to give me back a cutting.
I guess that there aren't a whole lot of plants that I trade, like, the whole thing for. I did get rid of, like, some syngoniums that weren't giving me joy, but it's not often that I, like, get rid of a plant completely, but I'm sad that I got rid of that one. I'll never stop thinking about it. Get over it someday.
Plant regrets.
Always plant
I just
regrets.
Recently had someone reach out to me about a plant that I bought from them like 8 months ago.
Oh no.
And they were just like asking like for perhaps if they could get a cutting. And I was like, oh yeah, well, next time I repot it, I'll just take a cutting for you. But I thought that was really like
Well, they missed it.
I was like, oh my God, you've probably been thinking about this ever since you sold it to me.
They probably took months to get up the courage. They'd probably be like, is it weird? Should I message him? Is it weird?
Will he remember me?
I think they watched my houseplant tour and then they saw it and I bet they were like, oh my God.
They're like, it's big enough. He can cut it now. He can give me a cutting. It's really fun though. And I feel like, I don't know about you, but I think that the plants that I trade from or get from people or get from friends are a lot more sentimental to me. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to get, hard for me to get rid of them, especially like you have that fiddly fig from your dad. And it's like, if that ever were to be like super sad, you'd be like, well, sure, I could get another big fiddly fig, but it's not going to be the same. I'm not going to have that attachment.
Well, literally I gave that girl my top cutting on the clarinarium and I was like, Cole gave me this for my birthday present. And this is the top cutting. It means so much to me. Please don't let it die.
I know, because now all the other cuttings look pitiful.
Well, no, the base looks good. The base has three leaves coming out.
I thought you said the rooted base was like the one that.
Oh, no, that was the mid-cut. Oh. Yeah. I mean, it'll come back, but.
Yeah. Cutting up anthuriums is kind of scary because there's not a whole lot of room for error in that. So, yeah, that's scary. Okie dokie. Let's move into future projects.
A little list of final questions. Yeah, what do you got going on for 2022? What are your goals? What's on the agenda?
I'm not necessarily one to plan too hard. Like, most that I have planned is at most my next month. But I don't really have anything that I want to add necessarily just because I don't have that much room. But I do want to start growing edible plants. Like on my balcony, I'm starting to grow some beans and some spinach, some summer spinach, just because that isn't really something I've explored much yet. So those are like my plant goals. But the other goals, I have no idea.
I appreciate that answer very much.
I know that in one of your recent videos, you're like trying to get organized and you're finally like planning content ahead of time. So
yeah,
maybe those are your goals.
That's why I have that 1 month.
Yeah, your one month.
Yeah. So I have it planned like 1 month out, but that's as far as I can go.
That's still very good because it's still hard for me to plan like the next day.
You never know what you're going to feel when you wake up.
I have no idea my energy level. I don't know what I'm going to want to do. And it's almost intimidating for me to commit to doing certain things on certain days because I don't know if I'm going to want to do it.
Well, and then
that's why I'm also hesitant to like say what my goals are because I don't know if I'm actually going to do it within the next year.
Speak
Benji.
Speak it into existence.
But I don't know if I'd want to do it anymore. You know what I mean?
Like, maybe need to ponder on like, what do I want this year to look like? What do I want to accomplish? What am I going to feel good about?
Yeah.
It's okay to keep pondering that.
Generally though, it is like just to be more organized and like less all over the place. Cause that's just been my reality for most of like school. And then when I started content creation, so just to be able to be one of those people who are like, I have videos planned out 1 week in advance, like already filmed, edited, ready to go. Mm-hmm. Like that just sounds so amazing to me.
I feel like I'd be like, I don't know. I'd forget what the video is. Would I even want to upload that anymore?
We record podcasts. And then if I don't edit them immediately, I forget we ever recorded them.
Yeah, he did do that one time.
There are a couple of podcasts just floating out there that never got up.
I was like, you never posted this about when we talked about pricing. And he was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, we recorded a whole episode talking about pricing and scams. Never came out. It's probably like missing in there somewhere. But we probably got a lot more to say about it now.
Yeah.
So it's probably good that
Was it from a while ago?
Yeah, I remember we recorded it the day that Variegated Gloriosum hit.
Oh, yeah.
NSC Tropicals. That thing was like, so interesting.
That was the day that we recorded it. And so there's a lot more to say about that and just other things. So I do remember that I was like, dang, we could have talked about this. We just recorded that. But now we have another opportunity. I feel like we have a lot to say. There's so much like to look for in like scams. And I think that, I don't know, there's too many plant people that are like, oh my God, I got this plant today. And oh my God, I'm so excited because it's like super different and cool. And I'm like, that's the same as like this other, what are you talking about? You just got roped into paying an extra $200 because I slapped on another word at the beginning that doesn't mean anything. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It hurts me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm new to plants, but I spent $500 on this.
Oh, I can't. No, the newbie, I don't know where you guys are getting your money, but the newbies that are coming in and, like, throwing the money at this, oh, it makes me ill. I can't.
I understand why they do that, though, just because they get caught up in it, and it's, like, all very interesting. And if you see these, like, beautiful plants, then
it's the status symbol.
It's like instant gratification type thing, I think, too.
It's literally what I've been doing, and I'm like, oh, I just bought a plant on Instagram, and I forgot what it was. She was like, here's your tracking, and I'm like, what did
Thank you.
Okay, I guess it'll be a surprise. I'm sure it was really good and worth it if I'm getting it shipped in the winter. It'll be good. Just be another Anthurium hybrid.
Yeah, I feel like you just go into like a 3 a.m. blackout, and then you wake up the next day with all these
it's bad
confirmation numbers, and you're like, what did I do?
That's literally exactly how it happens. Okie dokie.
I recently, well, not that recently, but I got out of like plant Facebook groups because those just make you want to buy things so bad. So
there's purges all day, every day.
I'm not fast enough to buy anything. The fact that I've ever gotten things from a purge is truly surprising.
You check Facebook, I feel like, after everybody's done.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, cool.
Oh, great.
Like, oh, this ended 2 hours ago. I'm like, okay.
I think sometimes the only way that I happen across things is, actually it's lately, but on people's Instagram stories, just random story sales, and I'm like, oh, that's tempting. And then I keep clicking back, and I'm like, oh, they haven't deleted it. It's still available. That's bad.
Well, the only reason I got the vitifolium is because it was 9 hours later, and some were still unclaimed, and I was like, oh. But then she got banned from the group.
Banned from the group?
Yeah, or muted from the group.
Muted, why?
Because she owns a landscaping company, and that was too planty to be selling plants.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, I'm glad I got in there before that got muted.
Some of the rules in some of these groups, like some of them I really respect on like using non-problematic plant names. I think that's really important. And then there's some things where they're like, no, I'm kicking you out. Goodbye.
I've gotten into fights with the admin. I'll fight to the death. Yeah. Don't threaten me.
Sometimes What's bad is that because it is such a mix of people in the plant community, like literally everyone likes plants, so you can pick people out from any other community to be in the plant community, it can be very like hostile sometimes.
There's like every type of plant person out there. Like anybody can get into plants. So
yeah, exactly.
There's lots of crazy people.
Okay. Look at us.
Let's see. We have two more questions. Coffee versus plants wanted to know, how do you take your coffee?
We've been talking about this question literally all day. So we are very excited to hear this answer.
Like talking about it, like what you think I drink or like what you
literally.
We just thought it was a random question and thought it was funny. And we've just been hypothesizing all day.
Yeah. Brandon's like, I bet he doesn't even drink coffee. And I'm like, I don't know. I bet he likes a little iced coffee, you know?
So I either drink hot black coffee.
That was my second choice.
Classic.
I do drink iced coffee with milk or a mocha frapp every once in a while. And I also really love Vietnamese iced coffee.
Oh yes.
That's probably my favorite, but it's hard to come by. So yeah, but I started drinking black coffee in college because I was like lazy and broke, so I didn't buy like creamer and like milk.
It's expensive. The whole bottle of creamer is like as much as
they're like $5 now.
Yeah, it's insane, and you go through it so fast if you're someone who likes it sweet.
So I just got used to it, kind of, and now I enjoy it. It was like a Stockholm syndrome type thing where I forced myself to drink it, and I was like, oh wait, I actually kind of like this now.
I like this. I swear to God, I like it. I suppose there are, like, when you really get into black coffee, there are like fancy black coffee and there is shitty black coffee. Like, I know that like people taste the difference. It's out there. There's fancy black coffee.
Well, I mean, I drink espresso, but like my espresso compared to any other espresso, I'm like, this is garbage.
See, I have the problem where like if I make anything at home, I feel like it tastes like shit. But if it's made by somebody else, it's delectable. I don't know what it is. Like, I think the coffee that you made me this morning, I was still drinking it at like 5 p.m. and it obviously tasted like water with coffee aftertaste. And it still was like, oh, this tastes kind of fancy. It's kind of nice. Oh, my God. Okay, very last question. Apparently, this is now our question that we're asking everybody. If someone's in your area, what is your favorite plant shop where you live that you would recommend that people go to?
So People do actually ask me that sometimes, like people who are visiting. So there's two that I recommend. There's one that I actually buy things from, and I'm friends with the owner now. And it is
Ooh.
called Yamaguchi Bonsai Nursery. And so they have amazing like bonsai stuff and also houseplant things, but that's also where I get a lot of my pots from. Because they have a ton of pot selection and they're all very unique and like pretty, but minimalish. So like right up my alley. And then there's this other place called Tropics Inc. And this place is like fancy. There's no price tags. You walk in, there's no workers. It's like not even, it's like more of a art or like a plant display gallery like place. And it's somewhere where like Ellen DeGeneres buys her plants from, Martha Stewart. They rent out their plants for like Hollywood things, for shows, or for luxury real estate. So they'll like stage their plants for luxury real estate. And so I went in, like I visit that place just to look, just to browse. And I talked to one of the people who work there. She's this amazingly cool British lady, and she's been working there for like 20 years. And then she just sounds so, like, her voice is so beautiful. I was speaking to her, and I was like, I'm talking to a celebrity, it felt like. And I asked her, I was like, oh, how much would this be? Like, how much are your plants? Just because I knew it would be an outrageous price. And she was like, it can range anywhere from like $50 to six figures. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, thank you very much.
Six figures. I'm
And what
just,
kind of plants
yeah,
are they?
what plant is that? I'm like,
It's
I know
like
that these are
old, very
like,
old with
oh,
pots and stuff. It's
very, like, I
they're
know that some of them
so
are
beautiful.
probably really big. I have seen like the back of Ellen's house. She's got big
Oh,
monsteras
you've
and
been to the
stuff.
back of Ellen's
No,
house?
she used to film in it, like back when my mom used to like Ellen. I feel like now everyone hates Ellen. Ellen isn't like the I don't know,
No.
the beam of
Well,
light that
turns
she
out
used to
Ellen's
be,
a Karen.
apparently. But when she was filming like in her actual house, you could see her whole backyard was just filled with massive monsteras. It's just like her landscaping. I'm like, what the heck? She made her like producer stand out there every day. It was really awkward. It's giving rich lady, and it's giving rich, and I don't give a shit.
Extremely
She used to
rich,
flaunt it as like a joke, like, oh, because I have servants and I'm so rich. Like she would make it a joke, but I'm like, we know you're serious.
Yeah, now it's a
Like
little bit like,
that's real.
A little too on the nose.
Like you're making jokes about like your actual life. Okay. All right. Enough shit talking, Ellen. I think we're donezies. And we've had Benji here for a long time.
Okay,
So.
we're only at an hour and a half. I
Well,
honestly
and
was thinking this was going to
he's
take
two
forever.
hours behind us, so
So we're tired. We want to go to bed.
it's our bedtime.
Yeah, I sleep early, but luckily, oh, Theo just came up.
Oh, hi. Oh my gosh, what a cutie. I want a dog so bad. I say that every single time I see a dog. Someday.
The second you've got a dog, you're gonna be like, "This is too much work."
That's why I'm waiting for one. I need a dog when it fits my lifestyle.
Yeah.
I'm not
And
home
you
all
find
day.
one on the side of the street, like an
Oh
old
my God.
dog.
I know. I'm just like, I'm eventually going to be rescuing one. I'm going to be stuck with it. But I'm trying to, I follow a lot of random like dog people on it on TikTok. I follow everybody on TikTok where people are talking about like good breeds and bad breeds and like how some like have a lot of problems and some
I
don't.
love the doodle bullying.
You love when people are making fun of doodles.
People like doodles, and I don't understand it. They're just obsessed with them. It's sick.
When I figured out it's literally a poodle and a golden retriever, and I was like, what? Why wouldn't you just get a golden retriever or a poodle? I don't know. Why would you want a doodle?
I don't know.
I don't understand it.
Yeah,
But I
people's
definitely,
obsessions with breeds
yeah.
kind of feel weird to me
I
sometimes.
want a dog that's not going to have to be in and out of the vet because I don't got money for that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't got money for that. I still have to get my bunny fixed. It's going to be like $500.
What?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You
You
have
have to
to do
get,
that?
yeah, you have to get your bunnies fixed. It's bad.
Why?
And get this, you have to look for like an exotic vet to do it because they're technically like just like a cat dog place isn't going to take a rabbit. But it changes their behavior. Like the boys in particular can be really territorial if they're not fixed. And they also spray all over the place. Like they're very bad at like actually going in their litter box unless they're fixed. And girls, like in particular, because I have a female bunny, their risk of getting like
Oh,
cancer
yeah.
goes way up after like age 4 or 6 or something. So you really have to get them fixed if you actually want them to like live a long, happy life. So yeah. I'm in a bunch of bunny parent groups, which is a good thing. I'm glad I joined because I learned a lot. The person who convinced me to get a bunny did not know a lot about bunnies, so I'm
glad.
How many
Facebook groups are you in?
Too many. I finally left the Eau Claire ones.
Oh, there's Eau Claire ones?
I was in like the Eau Claire buy sell trade group, Eau Claire ride share.
I was in all the groups.
And for some reason, I don't know what's wrong with Facebook, but I'll unfollow them or leave them, and I feel like they're still popping up. I still see it. I don't understand you, Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook confuses me still.
I can't handle it. Okay, do we have a review to read on the...
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we're supposed to read a review.
This is actually the last one. Well, but there might be more by the time this airs, but we need more. So please give us a 5-star review on Apple. Write something funny. Write something nice. Be mean as long as it's a 5-star review. We'll read it.
You can say something hateful.
You can bully us if there's five.
We'll read it and we'll cry. It's okay.
So this one is from Agritty. Agritty, Agritty.
Agritty.
Agritty. Wednesday. That's when it was posted on Wednesday by Agritty.
Okay.
It says the title is Love It. I really enjoy listening to these two. They have so much planty knowledge. Thank you, Agritty.
Thanks.
The pickings are slim. This, we've had a lot more episodes than we think.
I guess.
We've literally read them all.
Oh, we've read all the reviews?
Yes. Except for the 4-star one, we just mentioned it. We didn't actually.
We mentioned it too much. I think we beat that. That's the dead horse we've been beating. That 4-star review.
Here we are with $1,000 of equipment in front of us, all because of one 4-star rating.
What did they say?
They said our audio was sucky. No, what did they say? It was like,
well, they were like, I love them. I love the content, but the audio is so horrible. I will never listen again.
That's not what they said. They literally were like, the audio could be a little better.
It was a little meaner than that.
Brandon took it to heart, like, personally. He, like, buys a whole $500, like, setup now. And
well, it does sound really good now. I will. Maybe it worked.
Maybe it worked. Yeah.
And that's why we have to differentiate seasons, so that they know the orange background is the...
is the updated setup, which we're still learning about.
Except our first couple episodes have so many views.
They have... oh, our first couple?
Yeah, because they start from the beginning.
Oh, I guess.
And also our Anthurium episode, which was episode 21. That's a lot of views, too.
We didn't even know that much about Anthuriums at that point.
Speak for yourself.
We literally just had to ask Brian every question on the planet. We don't know that much about Anthuriums. Okay. As we wrap up, Benji, where can people find you on the internet if they want to learn more and follow you?
So you can find me on most social media platforms as just Benji Plant with... you can type it in probably without a space, and I think I'll pop up. But for Instagram, someone took the name, so it's Benji_plant.
Rude. Give it back.
Well, I think you can bully them into submission now.
I did actually DM them because they weren't active. I was like, hey, I was just wondering like if you're still using your account name, because if not, like, it would be cool if I could have it, but they didn't respond. So I think that they're just not active, but it's okay.
So everyone go mass report that account.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I can't. And then I think, Benji, now you have a Patreon. So if you guys want to hear Benji talk and do a little podcast each month, you can go sign up for his Patreon. I believe if you do the level 2 or 3, you will get that podcast.
Yes. I just record it on my phone, though, on a voice memo, so it's not like...
yeah, so don't bully him.
Crazy.
Yeah, don't give him a 4-star review.
It's low-fee. Yeah.
I think it is easier with one person that you can get away with it.
Yeah.
With us, we had so many technical problems.
We still have technical problems every day.
We had a technical problem right before this podcast. So.
I know. Our internet was like, goodbye. All right, Brandon, where can people find you?
You can find me at all my socials. Brandon Botanical. I almost said Brandaconda, but it is no more. R.I.P. And that is actually the reason why I had an under... yes, I did. Recently, Nicole and David bullied me.
Yeah, I was on David PV Plant Guy's podcast, and I was like, he was asking about Brandon, and he's like, yeah, what's his username? I'm like, it's like Brandaconda, but I think he should be Brandon Botanical. It's time to plant it up. Because how good does that sound? And while he was listening to it in the car, he changed it.
Mm-hmm. I was literally on my way to work, and I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm changing all my usernames.
What was the original username? Like, what was it inspired by? What does it mean?
So back in 2014, when we were in college, all my friends had musical pun usernames. And
Anaconda came out, and I was like, Brandaconda. And the only reason I had an underscore is because someone had that account on Twitter, just Brandaconda, and they posted all their food pictures and wouldn't give me the username. So, relatable.
And you've come so far, and now you've dropped the Brandaconda.
I still think I need to make separate accounts to, like, take it back in case someone tries to, like, what if they try to catfish me down the line or, like, catfish people with my old account name? Because I didn't.
What?
Like, I got to make an account to grab the name so that no one else can take it.
What are you going
to
do with that account? Just
nothing. It's just going to be
hoard it so nobody else can have it.
It's going to be like the original Benji Plant place filler. No one can have that.
Oh my God. Alrighty. And if you guys want to go follow the podcast, you can go find it on the, what is it? Where Are We Growing?
Mm-hmm. Where Instagram. Are We Growing?
And then I'm at Nicole Larson Grows on Instagram and Tickety Talk. That's it. Yeah. That's all she wrote. Thank you, Benji, for being here. It was an absolute treat. Yeah. Long time coming. And thank you. We learned a lot. And it was good to actually like talk to you because I know you're like in the DMs sometimes.
That. I was going
to
say that too.
It was good to actually like talk to you face to face. So.
And I'm going
to
go change my fish tank light timer immediately after this conversation.
I'm going to go get a fish tank. Just kidding. No, I'm not.
Don't do it.
Not going to happen.
It's too much.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.